You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Catch her at the Tuning Fork, June 2nd. 95BFM's Border Radio presents Elin Jewell.
No time has passed and months has gone, but this love in my heart has lingered on. But when I get worried, I sneak away and cry. You know my love, you know my love, you know. You'll need a home, you're gonna need a friend, and find her gone. But when I get worried, I sneak away and cry. You know
Kia ora koutou, it's 11 on Sunday. You're listening to Art Bank.
Kia ora everybody, how are you going out there? It's Rachel and Nadine in studio today, and we've got Andrew Clifford from Te Uru Gallery, and he's going to be talking to us about From Scratch, 546 Moons, which is on at the gallery at the moment. So good morning. Kia ora, Andrew. How are you?
Morena. Thanks for having me up. It's really nice to be back here at the B.
Oh, yes. So Andrew is a BFM alum as well. So that's nice as well to have you in the studio today. So I think we might as well just jump straight into it. Thanks to Angus for the last couple of hours. And that track that we were just listening to was Aileen Jewell. And you can catch her later in the year. She's coming. So that'll be a good one to see. But yes, so we're talking about From Scratch this morning and Te Uru Gallery. And this is a huge sort of a retrospective kind of for From Scratch. It's quite an interesting show because it's a mix of what they're up to now plus their history. So how did that come about?
Well, the now is the really important thing, and anyone who's ever worked with an artist on an exhibition like this will have found that no artist likes to call that show a retrospective because it's a looking back thing, which assumes that you've finished, and no artist likes to think their career has ended, no matter how old they are and if they're still making. So it's very much a survey, and it does go right into the now and looks into the future with some of what's been going on, with some really new things that From Scratch have never done before as well. So, I mean, that's one of the things that makes it really exciting.
So From Scratch, for anybody who is unfamiliar, and I'm sure there won't be too many people like that out there, is part of the international and national history of sound art, basically. They're a New Zealand collective that started in 1974, and I'm presuming this is where the name for the show came from. Is that 546 moons since they started?
Exactly.
Okay, yes. I was trying to work it out, and then I had the little light bulb moment when I was at home last night. Phil Dadson is probably the most well-known name to connect to that group, and he's kind of the pioneer of it as well. And so I suppose you've been working a lot with Phil on this project. How did the collaboration come about?
The collaboration with the other artists?
Yes, there are other groups involved with this as well. There is quite a lot. There's Nell Thomas and Daniel Beben from Orchestra of Spheres, which we're going to play a little bit of their music later, NPME, Chris O'Connor and Pitch Black, plus the actual Scratch Orchestra members, Rebecca Kalabuski, Adrian Croucher, Shane Curry, Phil Dadson, of course, Darren Harkness, Chris O'Connor, Rachel Thomas and Carol Brown. So how did that all come together?
That's a huge ensemble.
It's
more of a company than a group,
in
the performance sense of company. One of the really interesting things about this show is when I first started thinking about doing a project along these lines, it was always on the basis that From Scratch were this group that had kind of ceased to be active in 2002.
Right.
They did their last performance, which is the only one I actually saw in 2001, Pacific Plate, and things kind of wrapped up after that. And they had this really long lifespan. As you say, they started in 1974, performed throughout the world at the Third Sydney Biennial in 1979, and again at Sydney in 1986, but the Paris Biennial in 82, Edinburgh Festival, Japan, Singapore, Indonesia. They were probably one of the most internationally active artists or bands, I think, for that period. So they'd done a lot of work, and I felt the way that they just kind of petered out in a way. A lot of people had kind of forgotten about what all this amazing stuff they used to do. So I thought it was a really big story that needed to be told. And I wasn't sure how many people would remember it or even be interested in. Is it just my personal pet topic that I'm putting in the gallery because I'm the boss and I can?
Yeah.
But what came about is in talking about this with Phil and in developing it, that, to cut a long story short, the band got back together.
Ooh.
So thinking about the exhibition at first, it was how do you represent a performance group in an exhibition when it's about the performance? Performance is a live thing, really. And how do you do justice to that? I mean, there's a number of ways that performance works and performance art gets shown in galleries beyond the actual performance. You get the documentation is the obvious thing. Stills photography, you'll often get, if you'll excuse the term, the money shot, which is the image that always represents a famous piece of performance in every art history book. Yeah. There's that one image that comes to stand in for the work in a way. Or there's what would you describe it as performance residue, when you do a certain kind of process work and things get made or broken or smashed or whatever, and that often gets left on the floor for the exhibition after. So there's all these ways you can think about exhibiting performance, but it's never the actual performance. And I was really wary of doing something where you could hopefully get the old instruments rebuilt and put them in the galleries because they're so sculptural, but I didn't want them to just look like stuffed tigers.
Yeah, totally.
I didn't want this Hard Rock Cafe kind of dead things on the wall behind glass thing as this historic thing that just had no life, which really didn't capture the spirit of a From Scratch event, which, as people have seen over the last few weeks, are the most thrilling experiences you could imagine. But yeah, as I say, the band got back together. So all of that kind of went out the window in the end. It wasn't an issue. So we have an exhibition that tells the story of From Scratch. We've got dozens of old posters, photographs, various other things that are byproducts of what they do through LPs and films and CDs and other kinds of photography that we use to represent the work in various ways. So as a performance group, there are all these other aspects of their practice, which we have in the show, but we also, most importantly, have had the group performing.
So those are the. This is a concert series that's been going alongside the exhibition that's called Heart to Heart, is that right?
Yeah.
And it's completely sold out. So if you, like me, slept on those tickets, sucks for us, guys, because we missed out on that one. But there's been three already, is that correct?
We did it in two blocks. So for the opening weekend of the Auckland Arts Festival, who've partnered with us to present these shows, we did a block of three gigs, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then this weekend we're doing our second lot of Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows. So tonight's the last one.
Fantastic.
Last night was amazing. If you're lucky enough to have tickets for tonight, you're in for a real treat. So yeah, anyway, as I was saying, I was wondering what can we do with From Scratch if From Scratch aren't around? Can other people play their instruments? Can other people play those compositions? Like any musical composition, you get the score and you learn to play it. Can other people do From Scratch was my basic question. And then Phil came in and he totally flipped that on its head. And the question became, can From Scratch do other people's stuff? And that's where the collaborations come in. So rather than getting other people to come in and thinking of ways of performing, we actually had a reformed From Scratch.
I like that. And that's really cool.
And then we've got these collaborators who also get to collaborate with the group. And come up with their own pieces that become part of the From Scratch repertoire.
I think that's really nice. That's what I really enjoy about From Scratch as a collective, is that it's really egalitarian and there's a real sense of collaboration and community within the group and that sort of, and also in the way that they situate themselves in the Pacific and in Aotearoa, and trying to make those flavours, for want of a much better word than that, try and make those themes and those ideas really come through as those central things. And I think collaboration is such an important aspect of that. And we're going to play an Orchestra of Spheres track in just a second. So do you want to tell us quickly about how Orchestra of Spheres got involved with it?
So basically, Phil and I sat down up in St. Kevin's Arcade over a coffee and had a bit of a brainstorm of who would be good composers that would have some connection to From Scratch in some way, that would do something really interesting. And yeah, From Scratch were one of those names who have this amazing rhythmic approach to what they do. Orchestra of Spheres, sorry. If anyone who's ever seen Orchestra of Spheres live, they just have this hypnotic thing.
You
cannot stand at the back. You're just dragged into that dance floor and you go with it for the duration. And that's From Scratch too.
Exactly. And so, I was just saying off air that last time I saw Orchestra of Spheres was Splore last year. And you can kind of imagine in the big sort of tinted, sparkly, shiny atmosphere where a lot of people are maybe not quite in their right minds, Orchestra of Spheres was like this great sort of throbbing presence in the room. It was really powerful, very cool.
Yeah, and they have this very visual approach to what they do as well, with the costumes and how they set up. And Dan and Nell also do really interesting thing with interesting things with invented instruments themselves as well. And invented instruments is the other core aspect of From Scratch. And so they're both really interesting instrument inventors who do performances with those things as well. So they were kind of perfect, really. And I thought it was a brilliant suggestion of Phil's to bring them in. And I had no hesitation saying, yeah, let's do that.
Well, I reckon we will listen to an Orchestra of Spheres track now, and then we might talk a bit more about maybe those invented instruments and some more of From Scratch's practice and the way they pull it off. After this, we're talking to Andrew Clifford from Te Uru Gallery about the From Scratch 546 Moons exhibition. And right now, this is There Is No No by Orchestra of Spheres.
Oh, 2 does it does 1 9 19 3 8 3 8 6 2 6 2 4 0 blind 48 6 6 6 7 even number 7 number 9 the doctor number 2 on the loo 1 4 14 blind 22 0 5 3 8 1 81 3 9 39 halfway 45 75 75 1 17 8 4 84 4 8 48 2 6 2 6 2 0 21 79 79 89 81 71 blue dice 22 down the street number 10 on the zone number 3
So that was Orchestra of Spheres there with There Is No No, a collaborative partner with the From Scratch 546 Moons. And in the background, we're listening to a bit of Scratch Orchestra playing here. What's this track called, Andrew?
From Scratch, this is actually, it's a track that wasn't released at the time. So it's from 1978. It's called Triad Number 1. And From Scratch did their first LP in 1979.
Oh, right.
Just a few months ahead of AK-79, so if you consider that the birth of indie music, this was self-released even sooner, perhaps. And I found in all my research on this in the archive their funding application to do their first album.
Oh, really?
And it describes a double album. It was meant to be a double LP. And it's got the actual track listing. So there's the tracks that did end up on that first album, and there's a couple of other things that are totally different to the normal percussion pipe stuff. And one of them is this one, Triad Number 1, which a lot of art people will know as a performance video that's in the Auckland Art Gallery collection, I think, in various places, with Phil on a piano and Gray Nickel stroking rosined lines that are attached to the piano.
Oh, wow.
To another piano. So you've got these hanging chords, which are very Music for Airports like, and there's this sort of nice melodic drones going underneath it. So it was never released at the time, but it's circulated as a video. And this Japanese label, EM Records, got interested in From Scratch a few years ago and contacted Phil about doing some reissues. And they did a compilation of stuff from around the time of that first album a couple of years ago, called Five Rhythm Pieces, I think it's called. And then last year they did excerpts from the album Gung Ho with three contemporary Osaka bands doing remixes.
Oh, cool.
Which feeds into this whole collaboration thing too.
Yeah, totally.
And then especially for the exhibition, there's a third one, which we wanted to get beyond that early stuff. But in terms of that, I thought this is something that's never been available. How would Triad work, Triad One work as an audio track? And it's really beautiful. And then Drum Sing, which is one of their classic works from the mid-80s with Don McGlashan and Wayne Laird and Phil on the pipes, and then a 90s piece too, just to remind people that the band did keep going.
Oh, that's really
into
cool.
Into that third era. So there's a track sort of spanning each of those periods. But yeah, that's Triad One. It was the forgotten track for the first album.
I think it's really interesting that you point out it's not what we come to expect from Scratch, because they're so, like, their iconic instruments are sort of PVC pipes that you might find in the guttering of your home, and jandals is probably what people will most commonly associate with From Scratch as a group, and Phil Dadson as well as a musician. And that is something that you will be able to see when you're out at Te Uta, is that right?
That's right, yeah. So this kind of instrument building also goes with that egalitarian thing you were talking about, that sort of the democracy of the group. Is really fundamental to everything they do, and the way they play, the style they play. There's no soloists, it's all group phrasing. The instruments themselves are made from DIY materials on the whole, so it's something you could go, oh, I might try that at home too. So it has this accessibility, which is really significant to what they do. And so, yes, we've got all the instruments, or, well, a selection of a lot of the iconic instruments set up in the gallery, so you can go and see them in their setups, and we've been using that for the concerts too, so it's an exhibition that comes to life. And in the upper floor, this is part of the new bit of the show. So in the first room, you've got all the posters and photos and things and some of the instrument racks. And then you go upstairs into Gallery 2, and we've got what Phil calls, I think, the Sonic Play Space, where there's some historic instruments, but there's also some brand new ones he's come as well. Some really quirky things that he's invited some of the other members to make, called tone thrones, rocking chairs that do things when you're rocking them. And so these new invented instruments up there that you're actually allowed to play with. So
I think some people may have seen a tone throne at the Audio Foundation last year. I believe Phil was showing one of those tone thrones there, and they're really fun instruments.
That's right. So that's tone throne number one, which came out of the residency he did at Headlands over in San Francisco. So he got a couple of the other guys to make their own tone throne. So James McCarthy's done tone throne number 3, which is kind of like a bagpipe. It has this big bellows underneath, so when you rock it, inflates this bag of air, which then lets out this kind of low resonant kind of sound out these pipes that go up the back. And I think it's Adrian's done the other tone throne as well, which, again, it's a rocking chair, and the little ball goes backwards and forwards, and there's a little pan on the back that bashes when you sit in that. So you get to play with that and the classic pipes, and they've got the foam mallets, which are essentially jandals, as well. So you can have a little go yourself. And
cool. So it's an exhibition, I think, that is really awesome for anybody, and maybe taps into the kid in all of us as well, I reckon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, so we have been speaking to Andrew Clifford, the director of Te Uru Gallery, about From Scratch 546 Moons, which is this awesome, we're not calling it a retrospective, we're calling it a survey of the From Scratch group and the work that they have been doing and that they are still continuing to do. And if you're lucky enough to have tickets, the last Heart to Heart performance is tonight. So I reckon we might listen to this track for a couple of minutes, because it's a really beautiful piece. And yeah, thank you so much for coming up, Andrew.
Thank you.
Oh, pleasure. The exhibition, of course, runs for another couple of months, so the concerts aren't everything. You've got plenty of time to come in and see the show, have a play. And we will be doing some other stuff over the next few months, so there will be more performances of some sort. It won't be a full From Scratch show, but I think Don, just quietly, is going to come in and do something with Phil sometime next month.
That would be cool.
Some From
Definitely
Scratch.
Definitely going to stay tuned. Yeah.
We will keep you guys out there informed of everything that's happening, because this is a really awesome exhibition that I think everyone should try and get along to. Cool, thank you so much, Andrew. We are going to listen to this track. What's the name of it again? Of the song? What's the name of the track?
Oh, that we're listening to now, Triad Number 1.
Triad Number 1. This is From Scratch.
Thank you.
This beautiful piece that we're listening to is Triad by From Scratch, which Andrew Clifford from Te Uru Gallery kindly brought in for us this morning. We've been talking to him about 546 Moons, the From Scratch exhibition that is on out there for now and the foreseeable future too. So go out and check that one, because it's going to be one not to miss, I reckon. We're going to come back in just a second, and Nadine is going to talk to us about The Square, which is a movie some of you might have seen in the film festival circuit. And if you haven't, it's coming into cinemas soon, so you can catch it again. But we're going to talk about that in just a moment.
95BFM presents Marlon Williams at the Auckland Town Hall, May 25th, and now a new show on May 26th. The South Island Adonis is coming to break Auckland's heart with all the bliss and ache of his new album, Make Way for Love. Dreaming. Marlon Williams at the Auckland Town Hall, Friday, May 25th, and now, due to unprecedented demand, a second fully seated show, Saturday, May 26th. Tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster.
Ugh, BFM is so annoying. Whenever we're meant to hang, they're all like, come to mine, babe. Could we do it at my place? Like, come round here for once. Jeez.
Out on the Freak is back, and that means 95BFM is coming to yours. Three gigs out in the suburbs, bringing the noise to where you live.
First up, we're headed to the Greyland RSC with the Nai Nai Express and the Pleasure Magenta. Expressly pleasurable.
Out on the Freak, Greyland RSC, March 28th, 7 to 9pm. Fully and totes free, thanks to NZ On Air Music and Rudy's Brewers of Beer.
Everything is vibration, whether it's funky jams or hot bean juice. It's much of a muchness from the cosmic perspective. So why not bring coffee and music closer together? Well, that's just what we're doing every morning on Trackuccino.
Every day on breakfast, Mikey picks a special track from a special time. Just listen in for your chance to win a Coffee Supreme Mikey pack, one Mikey mug, Mikey Supreme stickers, and a 250-gram bag of Coffee Supreme.
Trackuccino. Thanks to Coffee Supreme, only on 95BFM. Winner drawn every Friday.
At this radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Balls. Thank you.
So we are back. Thanks so much to Andrew Clifford for coming in and chatting to us about the From Scratch exhibition happening out at Te Uru at the moment. Nadine, kia ora, good morning.
Kia ora.
How are you?
I'm good. So right now
What are we going to talk about today? What have we got on the film sphere?
What have we got on the film sphere? So, well, if you guys haven't heard or seen it yet, there's a Swedish film called The Square that has just recently come out into cinemas, I believe. And I actually saw it at the Auckland Arts Festival just out of curiosity, just to kind of see what Ruben Östlund has to offer after Force Majeure.
Is that the director?
Yeah. And I thought that was a brilliant film. That was really great. And so basically, this film is a satirical drama.
Okay.
And it kind of revolves around the criticisms towards, like, the machismo and in the art world, and it's basically centered around Christian, a director for a contemporary art museum in Stockholm, and it kind of follows on this kind of narrative where it's based out of this work called The Square by an artist called Lola Arias, who is exhibiting at the museum, and it's basically a space installed outside of the museum that is supposed to be a sanctuary of trust and caring, and within it we all share equal rights and obligations. However,
so a lot of ideals from the contemporary art world.
Yeah, and a lot of kind of like criticisms towards like the kind of like the white cube that it kind of, you know, is perceived to be. And I guess what's funny about it is that it completely contradicts the premise of the museum space, and to install a work with this kind of aim to build safe spaces, it is, you know, it's kind of like merely impossible to achieve this under the white cube of an established affluent gallery in Sweden. So
there's a lot of that sort of satire being the force behind it. So who's in the movie? Who have we got?
So it is Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got Elizabeth Moss in it, and I thought she was great. She played a really great character who was like this art journalist, an American art journalist, wanting to kind of really dig into Christian's kind of head and just see, like, you know, what is it about? Like, how can you explain things? Like, how can you explain art? And he just kind of completely does not even know, because he's, I don't know, like, he's just kind of like so unaware of himself as well. And the way that he acts in the movie is that there's this really funny scene where he actually had his wallet and his phone stolen, and yeah, it was basically a prank where people thought that there were like people approached him and tricked him into thinking that there was like an alleged like abuser like in the streets, and then they just instantly stole his wallet, and he had the audacity to write a letter to every person in this apartment building where he tracked his phone at.
And to try and get his things back.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like, why couldn't he get over it? Like, why?
So there's a lot about ego, and there's a lot about...
Yeah, a lot about ego.
A lot about the kind of money and the patriarchy and the Western gaze in this movie.
Yeah. And I think there is one scene as well that I guess it kind of takes a dig on like self-indulgence, and there's this one scene in particular that I would recommend strong precaution, because it's a little bit, you know, because of the violent aggression expressed by the performance artist that was featured in the movie. It's quite traumatic, and I think like if that's something that you feel uncomfortable about, you know, think about what's best for you and see what you think. And
which I think is maybe where lots of people have criticized this movie as well, is that while they are criticizing the idea of this kind of culture within Western art, particularly being quite toxic in many ways, this movie kind of perpetuates that a tiny bit too through scenes like
And I'm just like, you know, I wouldn't really call this film like anti-art in a way, because it does take a dig on it, but at the same time it's just so kind of, it's very confronting in a way, you know. And like, yeah, like you said, that a lot of people do criticize that for its kind of lack of, I guess, carefulness and mindfulness for being a critique or a satire, but it, you know, like it's a satire. So
it's in cinemas at the moment, is that correct?
Yeah,
and people can go and check it out. So it's one to maybe tread with caution if you're not cool about some of the more intense and violent bits in it, which is totally fine to be. So to tread with caution a little bit, but it is a pretty cool movie from what
I thought. I thought it was funny, like, and satire, you know, it is eventually going to be a bit funny, but yeah, definitely do take it with precaution.
Would you give it a star rating? What would your star rating be?
3.75
stars from Nadine. Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah,
then
it's not too
that's
bad.
Not too bad. And we might jump into a track now. I'm going to play one off the new Young Fathers album, which has been on high rotate in my flat.
I said, wow. Thank you.
This is Wow by Young Fathers, with a very abrupt end, but a very good one nonetheless. And that is a really fantastic record, which you should go and check out if you haven't listened to it already. Something I want to talk to you guys about for 2 seconds is this wonderful new track called Abstractions that Caitlin Aurelia Smith, who's a fantastic producer and musician. She mixes all of her own stuff. She takes sound samples from places that she lives in and things that are interesting to her, and she turns them into music, and then she plays all of the instruments on her own records. And her album The Kid that came out I think it was the end of last year is really beautiful, and you should go and check it out. But she's just started this new label, which is called Touch the Plants, all one word, and it's a really sort of, she's been using lots of vintage synthesizers and vintage instruments and responding to the work of the US experimental animator and music curator Harry Smith, who was the inspiration for the composition. And so this is one you really need to go and check out yourself, because you've got to see the visuals with it. It's very Len Lai-esque in terms of the way that these things, the visuals link with the sound, and it's sort of very organic, but made with that beautiful sort of 1970s colouring, and it's really gorgeous. So we're going to just have a quick listen to a little bit of that now. This is Caitlin Aurelia Smith.
We'll be right back.
This track that you can hear right now is Caitlin Aurelia Smith.
It's fantastic.
It's really beautiful, eh?
Yeah.
It's called Abstractions, and it's from her new multidisciplinary label, Touch the Plants, all one word. Caitlin Aurelia Smith's worked with people like Suzanne Ciani, who are the OG pioneers of synth, basically, and women making cool sound art. But you got to go check out the video because it's inspired by the works of Harry Smith, who was a US experimental animator, and very much it fits with the visuals that me and Nadine are looking at the moment. So go check that one out. Under the Radar's got a good link to it, but you can also find it if you just Google Caitlin Aurelia Smith Abstractions. So I think we might just play this quietly in the background while we talk about what's happening in art this week, Nadine.
Oh, amazing. So basically, there's quite a lot of things going on at the moment. So on the 27th of March, we've got the I Understand If You're Busy poetry reading and publication launch, which has been a current show curated by Carrie Schmidt. And it is going on at Room Gallery at the moment. And it's the final event for the exhibition. And it is going to be a poetry reading with publications by Lulu Callister Baker, Cameron Town, Rachel Ashby, hello.
That's me.
Divya Kumar, Carrie Schmidt, and Ellie Lee Duncan. And there's also going to be comic by Che Abraham. So worth checking out. And poetry readings as well by numerous of people. On the same night, we've also got Ruth Cleland, Fluorescent, an opening exhibition at Melanie Roger Gallery. And that is on at 5:30. And on the same night, actually, a lot of going on the 27th of March is Unwarranted by Brianna Williams, who is a current master's student at Elim, and that's going to be at the George Fraser. 29th of March, we've got Queer Think, an artist-led conversation at Art Space. So that is on at 6 o'clock. So that's going to be kind of an artist-led conversation that aims to explore current and future practical, critical, and theoretical needs on all aspects surrounding queer artistic practices in Aotearoa. And from our discussion with Andrew earlier, so From Scratch at 546 Moons, that is on until the 27th of May 2018. So
and that's out at Tauru Gallery.
Yeah, so if you were listening earlier, they've got a performance coming up tonight.
So if you've got tickets, lucky you. If you haven't, you can be sad like me about it and just imagine
just
the sound.
Dwell in it.
Imagine the sound. But also, if you want to go and check out the exhibition, have a go on some of those awesome instruments that Andrew was explaining to us, like the tone thrones and the PVC pipes with jandals and lots of classic and new From Scratch sounds. That's the place to go, is Te Uru Gallery until May.
Yeah.
What else, Nadine?
Oh, and currently going on at Mokopopaki, so that is going on till later on this month, I believe. So,
what's the title of it?
Yeah, so that's This Joyous Chaotic Place, Hewaiata Tangiatahu, the life and work of poet, lesbian, feminist, and activist Heather McPherson. So very interesting. I believe we might have Jacob next week. We'll see.
Fingers crossed, maybe we'll see. It's a really wonderful show, guys. You should go and check it out. It's really moving and very beautiful. And if you haven't been to Mokopopaki before, it's a really lovely space to go and check out on K Road. So that's a good one.
Yeah, and one more from Audio Foundation and Goethe Institute NZ present Hannah Lichtman. So if you haven't bought your tickets yet, definitely go check that out because that's on the 6th of April.
Cool. All right. So as we have mentioned already in the background, we're listening to Caitlin Aurelia Smith, Abstractions, inspired by the work of Harry Smith. You can go and watch the video online. And we're going to be back with one or two more songs before the jazz show comes in at 12. Just after this, you are listening to 95BFM, of course, Art Bank.
95BFM presents Tammy Nielsen at the Town Hall on her Sassafras New Zealand tour, Saturday, August 4th. Her new album, Sassafras, is brassy, sassy, and chock full of soul. And now Tammy Nielsen is bringing it to you live for one sass-filled night.
Only business you got is your own.
Tammy Nielsen, Sassafras New Zealand tour with her hot rockin' Band of Rhythm. Saturday, August 4th, Auckland Town Hall. Tickets on sale Wednesday, March 28th from Ticketmaster.
They will all get sick and die. Bob will die, Kim will die, your wife will die. Understand?
No, I don't.
From the director of The Lobster, a weird, dark, psychological horror that will push your mind to the point of no return.
You do realize, Stephen, we're in this situation because of you.
The Killing of a Sacred Deer. Out now on DVD and digital thanks to Madman Entertainment.
Gaze upon a truer truth. Watch as cruel Mistress Entropy wraps her greedy lips around all of being. In a cosmic moment, we too will be smothered in the maternal belly of a nothing. Listen, can you hear the song the stars sing? In elegy of their own light.
Oh no, I'm so into that. I think I played it earlier.
Oh, good, good.
Stare eternity in the face. The Wednesday Wonder Forward Bridge, only on 95BFM.
So you are listening to Art Bank, of course. This is 95BFM. And we're just going to do a little notice. The Basement Theatre has put out a really good good conversation about this, which is called Fighting for the Arts. And it's basically in response to the Auckland Council's funding proposals, or lack of, for the arts at the moment. I'm just going to read the start of it. It says, we're calling on the creative arts sector in Auckland to rally with us and hold Auckland Council accountable for ensuring ongoing investment and support for the arts in our city. The draft Auckland plan currently up for consultation until Wednesday the 28th of March, which is this coming Wednesday, represents a crisis point for all Aucklanders who love and participate in the arts. If the plan were to be published in its proposed form, the draft effectively removes almost all reference to the arts, creativity and culture that existed in the previous plan and makes no acknowledgement of their role in bringing about the plan's vision of a, quotation, world-class city where talent wants to live.
Mm. And you can submit your submissions below. Just head to the website. It's on Basement Theatre in the News. If you look up the Fighting for the Arts hyperlink, then it'll definitely lead you into submitting a proposal as well.
So you can basically have your say. You can tell the Auckland Council, we need the money for the arts because we do. This is people's livelihoods, and it also totally is what...
It's what builds a community, you know?
It's what builds a community.
Yeah.
This is something we feel very strongly about on Art Bank, and this is our public service announcement for the day. Go have your say about the arts in Tamaki Makaurau, and you can find the link through the Basement Theatre's website, as Nadine just said. Fighting for the Arts is the thing to Google. So we're going to play one more track for you before we head off today. Thank you so much to Andrew Clifford from Te Uru coming in to talk to us about From Scratch. It was really, really nice talking to him. And to the person who texted us to say, how do I find the song Triad that we played earlier, which was a track by From Scratch. I believe it's on a compilation that came out quite recently. So if you hit up Real Groovy, they probably will have a copy for you, or maybe even flying out, because it is a good bit of New Zealand. This is Ross from Friends, John Cage edit.
Thank you.
sometimes it's dead true. Oh, it will come to you if we take some time. Is that true to you? Oh, it will come to you if we take some time.
A 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.